Okay, Serene.
Okay, thanks. So I recognize that KPFK is a special category. I think their candidates are, what, at least twice, and in cases more than that, than anybody else's. And so they, you know, I can almost see that their deadline will be different from the rest of the networks, which, you know, which is allowed.
Yes.
But I would argue that Thursday is too soon to decide whether or not to extend.
It's right now we're talking about December 4th, so that's slightly short of a month. And if it gives the bulk mail more time to arrive, and the whole reason we did bulk mail was to save money on the postage, let's allow those ballots to get out there, you know. And I would make the decision a week from Thursday. I mean, up to you, of course. But, you know, before we start having to send stuff by the first-class mail that we wanted to avoid, and that's my suggestion.
Sure. So just in response to that, there's a combination of things. There's one, being mindful of the bylaws and the time frame. And so while, you know, certainly things were mailed and just, you know, making sure that there is ample time and it doesn't, I mean, I know there are plenty of people in this network that already have lawyers on tap and lawsuits, you know, on the ready. But at least, you know, trying to do my due diligence and at least reducing the number of times you will be sued in terms of following the bylaws and procedures. So there's that. The second thing is, if we would extend the election from the system standpoint to the vendor, there is a time frame I need to give them in order for them to prepare the system to extend beyond the original deadline. So there are those two factors, in addition to, you know, just trying to ease Pacifica voters, because, you know, you guys are your own Pacifica voters are a special category.
Indeed.
Everyone's at agita in that, you know, they will only have a short amount of time to respond or to cast their vote.
Okay.
So all of those things combined.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So I may get to a situation on Thursday where, you know, I'm like, well, we're not going to, you know, make a decision to extend because of certain other factors, meaning, you know, maybe all of the staff received their, you know, ballots or, you know, it's, you know, all of those things. So I will document and specifically say why I made the decision on Thursday, or even why I'm delaying the decision if that is the case.
Gotcha. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Well, Eljoy still has one more section, so why don't we allow her to go on to that, and then we'll have a final round of Q&A.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So, last section is on the ballot count process. So as I previously, I believe our previous update, or the last one before ballots were mailed, I mentioned that we were starting the procedures to do a manual count. Thankfully, at the last minute, and, you know, skillful negotiation on my part, I may say, I was able to negotiate with the vendor to include the scanning and counting of the ballot at no additional charge to Pacifica. And yes, I took myself out for a glass of scotch afterwards. That saves us the logistical nightmare of conducting a manual count, as well as saving us cost. The cost that the vendor usually charges, they usually charge, I believe it's either 88 cents or $1.88 or something for each ballot that they scan and enter for the count. And we got that completely for free. And so we will not have to do the manual count. Obviously, the online votes are entered automatically into the system for the printed ballot. When they are returned by mail, they return to the vendor at their Oregon address. The vendor will scan, will have scanned copies of each ballot, which is why the ballot says please do not put any personal information on it. Each ballot will be scanned, and the votes entered into the system as they are received. At the end of the election, we'll get a data file that has a PDF copy of each scanned ballot. So whether or not the ballot was counted or not, the ballot that is received back will be scanned. And we all know that there are a number of procedures on why a ballot wouldn't be counted. It's, you know, invalid or sent back blank or, you know, any of that information. As I mentioned earlier, I'll begin hosting a weekly update of voter turnout for each of the stations. So there will also be a breakdown of not only online votes cast, but once ballots start to be returned, there will be information on this many ballots were returned. Any checks or money orders included will be packaged in an envelope and sent to the station by the vendor with a return receipt. So that we, you know, nothing gets lost in the mail. In regards to, I've been asked the question that in the past, members were able to bring their completed ballots to the station the day of the actual, deadline. I'm discussing that procedure with, the LESs on our calls. And we'll announce any information. We want to discourage people from waiting until that part, so we won't announce the details of that until we get probably about 2 weeks into the deadline. But you know, because we want to discourage people from waiting until the last day. You know, we're discussing the procedures for that and the availability of that. So that is what we have on the ballot count process thus far. I'm getting, just, you know, as an update before, I'm sure folks will have this question, I need to send to the vendor the detailed results and counts from the past elections, just so that we can make sure that the counting method that they use matches up with what Pacifica has done in the past, because different people, different clients do different ways, so they want to make sure that we have the count in the same way. And we'll also have complete information in terms of when the results will be posted or made available and how they will be made available in the next 2 weeks or so. Lastly, the other section that was not included in this update report that I was planning on but just ran out of time was doing an updated budget comparison of our actual budget, both as the proposed budget as well as a comparison of 2012's budget, so that we can see that laid out and see how much money we saved. So that's that section.
Okay, so for the staff.
Thank you, Michael. Very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Donna, say to the staff.
Okay, so let me first thank you, Eljoy, for although I haven't seen the budget yet, but I do know from the earlier budget discussions that you already, you know, helping us reach substantial savings. So we really appreciate that and your negotiation that was successful. So. Just wanted to say that. All right. So, I'm sorry. Who was the very first person who asked to speak?
Serene did. Yes.
Okay. So it's Serene and then
Michael.
And then who's
Janet.
Okay.
Janet.
Serene, Michael, Janet. Okay. Serene, go ahead.
Okay. So, I have huge concerns about the counting of the ballots. In New York, we've had many strange things happen. We had one, And actually, some of what I'm saying may speak against my ultimate goal or what I'm going to express as my actual desire. We've had one member who took home several envelopes and so forth, and things never came back. We've had ballots disappear from the rooms, a huge number of staff ballots.
of what disappeared in one election. Very often people send in notes to individual candidates and so forth. We had one election where those materials were definitely segregated and then never delivered to the appropriate parties. So that speaks, I know, it seems, against having a ballot count in which, you know, at which listeners are present. However, there's a tremendous lack of confidence in things that folks aren't able to witness themselves. And so instead of having the ballots being counted in Oregon, we had one election, for example, where someone's ballot was seen during the initial separation and then was not seen for the rest of the election. And they had a write-in, a unique write-in, so it was clear. Somebody needs to mute so that it was clear that that particular ballot was missing. So, you know, all sorts of stuff. That said, I really think that the ballots need to be counted within the local station areas. And it doesn't have to be a manual count. I mean, the scanners can still be used, but folks will be able to see what's happening. Even last time when we did a centralized ballot count, as opposed to, you know, four, in this case, four local ones, there was still an opportunity to go observe. And I think that would really make a huge difference to our listenership. I actually do have a motion for the committee, but I'll wait until after questions.
Eljoy, did you want to respond?
So I'm not... I understand the concern. I'm just not sure at this point where we are I don't know. I don't know if that's possible now. However, I can, you know, discuss with the vendor some options, creative options we may be able to come up with to make it more, I guess, visible or inclusive, in, you know, in terms of the counting process. Because right now, right, the ballots are returned, you know, the return envelope has to Oregon.
Right.
And the ballots are scanned and then entered into the system. So I'm not quite sure, you know, besides that when we get to the end, you know, the last week, where they will probably wait until the close of the election to enter the final, you know, the final ballots received, I'm not quite sure how we can create a process for people to view or to see. So I should just kind of put my thinking cap on that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
So
could somebody please mute?
Sorry. Thank you. Those envelopes are going to go to Oregon, but what if we had them stored and not open, so the vendors would be able to count them? I assume there's some marking on the ballots that, on the return envelopes, that let them know which station, or is it, are they all the same, all the return envelopes the same?
All the return envelopes are the same. It's only when they scan them that they you know, they show the what station area.
So how much is airfare to Oregon?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Okay, so was Michael next?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
So I have a serious concerns. This is also in comparison to what was said on the last call on October 8th. So I do have a possible solution. I think that when we talked about this last month, the idea was that there was going to be, in a sense, a check, because the entire tally would be run by Pacifica at the stations using Choice Plus. Therefore, would check what the simply voting system did. So I think that one possibility would be, once they are all tallied in Oregon, they could be sent to each station, and each station could then run the tally on Choice Plus with all the raw data that we have, because it's the same raw data, and then that would also give people a chance to see that and also check the tallies or totals that Simply Voting came up with. My prior concern has to do with the fact that everything is being sent to Oregon, and there's no idea until they're opened and scanned where they're coming from, because historically different stations have had different rates of return, and we need to have a heads up sooner than the tally as to whether we're going to reach quorum or whether we have a problem reaching quorum, because there needs
to be... Yeah, just to clarify that, that's why, as is mentioned in the report, the vendor is going to scan and enter ballots as they're received. So I will be in that. So I will be able to see in real time the votes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's why I'm doing posting the weekly update, so that also, you know, everyone can see.
Okay,
you know,
so that update was not just from the e-voting; it was from the...
Yeah.
Paper ballots being sent in. Okay, I'm sorry.
I missed
that then.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming in, they're being scanned and stored. So I think it is essential that all the original ballots, as well as the data, be saved. And that is my suggestion, that then the ballots and the data and the electronic voting tallies could be sent to each station, where they could be run again on Choice Plus. That would give people a chance to observe it, and we could validate the tally that they did with the tally that we do. And we'd be, you know, you'd have a kind of a double check and make sure no ballots disappeared in the process or nothing was lost. My other concern is about the money, I have to honestly say, because in my experience, people sometimes send cash, even though you might say over and over again, checks and credit cards only. So I'm wondering, as these are opened, what the procedure is for getting out all those proceeds and getting them to the station. Like you said, it would be sent, but given it's happening piecemeal, I think a lot of the stations would like those checks as soon as they come in. What arrangements we have for getting them to the different stations, you know, weekly at least, or if there's some possibility of setting up a mechanism for electronic deposit there or something like that.
Okay, so in terms of, I'll start backwards, in terms of the checks, I am, and as a reminder to myself, I've been back and forth with the vendor because their first response was to send all checks or money or anything received at the end, and I said,
I'm sorry.
No. Let me finish.
I couldn't understand what you said. The first response was to send.
So their first response when I asked about, you know, the checks and money orders or whatever that would be sent back to be sent, is they wanted to compile them all and then send it at the end of the election. I then replied, oh no, that money is essential for, you know, the station to operate. You know, we could you send them mm-hmm. as received. They came back and said, well, you know, we can do a regular send. But I then didn't follow up with them on my determination of regular was at the end of each week. And I didn't confirm with them if that was accepted. So I need to go back with them tomorrow to make sure that that was accepted. Their issue was they didn't want to have a situation where, say, on Monday, there was only one check received, and then they mail it to us.
Sure.
And then Wednesday, there were 20, and now we have to send it out again. And keeping in mind that they're managing other elections and other clients as well.
Yes.
So I'll make a note to go back to them just to clarify that, to see if they were able to accept the weekly.
Okay. I mean, I know that some banks now allow you to deposit checks by just scanning them on the smartphone.
Oh, yeah, but we wouldn't do that. Like, we wouldn't trust. Yeah, like, I wouldn't do that. I just rather them just send, by UPS or Priority Mail,
right.
Checks accordingly.
Okay.
Are you done, Michael?
I do have some other issues I want to raise that are not germane to this entirely. So before we end the call,
sure, just remind me, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next, what did I hear, Nancy?
Janet. Yeah, point of information about her answer to Michael. They are going to take a picture of those checks before they send them, right?
Yeah.
Well, I will ask that. Thank you. Okay.
I'm sorry, and it wasn't really a response to my proposal about sending everything afterwards for a second count at each station, which would kind of deal with what Serene was saying.
All right, I made a note of it. I'll ask tomorrow.
Okay. All right, Janet.
Okay, well, first of all, opening ballots as they are received would be a violation of the bylaws. Article 4, Section 5 says in the second paragraph, all ballots shall be held sealed until the election close date. So that's one thing. Another, the online ballots are being tallied, I guess, as they come in, would also apply.
Really quick before you ask the next question. So when you guys used the vendor before, they held ballots?
Yes.
It all? Yes.
Interesting. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so then I want to say that I like where Serene was going when it came to people going to Oregon. But I also want to add that in the past, not only was the tallying witness, but the whole process was witness, including the chain of custody of the ballots. But, the opening of the ballots was witnessed, and the scanning of the ballots was witnessed, etc. So I would like there to be arrangements for witnesses to be able to be present in Oregon for the entire process. So that said, there are a couple of other things. One of the candidates, Sori Hillman, withdrew as a candidate, but it's on the KPFA ballot. What is going to happen with his votes? That's one thing. And then another is, when are the errors that were found on the updated candidate statement booklets and sample ballots page of the website going to be fixed? And that's, the instructions have, there's an error in the instructions, and there's also a link to the KPFA, the staff ballot goes to the listener ballot. And then finally, where are the on-air tutorials for FTV voting that you said were going to be provided?
Okay. So the one on, I made note of the witnesses piece and the holding of ballot sealed, and I'll touch base with the vendor on that. And get a response and see what process we can come up with on that. So that's number one. Number two, on the correction of the ballots, as you know, I responded and said it was aware of that. you know, and just to, you know, just to clarify, one, Pacifica is not my only client. And two, in terms of prioritizing information or tasks that need to be done for the election process, I'm aware that it needs to be done. I replied that I was going to do it, and we were updating the information to make sure that it was clear and will be updated on the site. As you've seen, a number of the things that I said we were going to do were updated on the site over the weekend and this morning. Particularly because members are receiving or should receive their ballots this week, that information is, you know, next in high priority on the list to update on the site and send out. So I don't have a specific time frame. A specific, you know, hour in terms of when it'll be done, but it's, you know, on the list of to be done a high priority this week and added to the site. I think, what was your other question? On the tutorials, we're finalizing the scripts on those to be recorded this week.
And then there was a big question about the candidate who withdrew and what happened. What's going to happen with him?
Sure. So on the online ballot already, it says that the person's withdrew his candidacy. So that anyone going to vote online or will see the information and therefore not choose him in the ranking because he's already withdrawn. Regarding those that we receive in paper, it's just following the regular SCV procedures in terms of someone withdrawing from the race at that point. So they'd be entered in sort of their next information, their next vote information entered from there.
Serena, another question.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Did someone else have to speak before Serena?
Nancy. Oh, no, I think you're done right now.
Okay, then go ahead, Serena.
Okay. So I had intended to bring a motion to have the ballots opened in the local station areas. But there is no way for us at this point to comply with the requirement that the ballots be held sealed. Because since all the envelopes are the same, there's no way we would even know if a station has reached quorum or not until whatever day we set. And that, you know, obviously it does not make sense to me that we wait until December 4th, open the ballots, and say, oops, you didn't make quorum, we have to extend. I think, and I'll draft it in a minute, but we need to have a motion that takes into consideration the reality of us needing to determine quorum more than needing to keep the ballots sealed, just because that's where we are. The envelopes can't be distinguished.
Janet K., point of order?
Yes.
I still don't think we have a quorum at this meeting, so I don't think we can do motions.
Well, we'll determine it in a minute. We'll call the roll, but I first wanted to give Michael a chance. He said he had a question on, or a couple questions on a different subject that hasn't been covered yet, so let's let him do that, and then we'll call the roll and see if we do, if we've reached quorum, because several people are trying to call.
I also have
There are 11 people on call. Sorry?
I also have a question about...
I'll add you after Michael.
Okay.
I should also
thank
do
you.
A time check. It's 10:30. We normally try to adjourn by 10:30, and we didn't, because we don't have a quorum, we didn't set a time to end. But I'd ask if there's any objection to going on for another 15 minutes. Hearing none, then we'll do that. So Michael, and then Janet, and then we'll do a roll call. Michael.
So this goes back to some of the discussions last week, last meeting, and I'm looking at the difference between the KPFK listener-sponsored candidate promos and some of the other stations like BAI. And I'm still not clear what really has been resolved about the scheduling, the list of either when particular promos were scheduled or when they actually ran. I've never received anything as to when the promos or my promos. Some people in the last call said they were told when their promo was going to run and it didn't. But I've never received anything that said when my candidate statements would run. For the KPFK list of sponsored candidate promos, it lists the time frames, which are the same as for all the stations. Then it says weekdays there are 10 groups with either 3 or 4 promos in each group, or weekends there are 8 groups with either 5 or 4 promos in each group. And maybe because it was almost entirely our fund drive until last Friday, they've never aired more than one at a time in any particular hour. And it doesn't say who is in which group or when the groups are being aired, as compared to, let's say, BAI, which names the people in each individual group and so on. So I'm wondering if there is...
I only have a general response to that.
Okay,
because I didn't want you to get into detail because I don't have specific information on that. So, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not asking for you to have the information right now, but I'm asking, is there a list for KPFK of when the promos were supposed to be run and when they were actually run for each individual candidate? You don't have to answer it now, but that's the information I want to get. And I thought we agreed we would have.
Okay, so this general statement in that the candidate carts and when they're played and the promos and things of that nature are handled by the LEF, who then update the website or send me reports, right? So I don't mind. So just for general information for even those who are listening or listen later, I don't micromanage that process. It's only when things are brought to my attention of things not playing fair, missing information or things of that nature, that I then use that information to follow up. So that's number one. Number two, at KPFK, I'm particularly aware of the situation, and I guess because KPFK has reduced staff time, that there is only one person who has access or can give access to the LEF in order to produce the report in terms of carts actually playing, and he has also been difficult to pin down even when he's in the office because he's also reduced staff time, I guess because KPFK has reduced people's hours. So she has had difficulty getting the information in terms of the schedule and when things have played. So I know that to be a fact specifically at KPFK.
Okay. Janet?
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So this is really related. At the October 8th election committee meeting, one of the committee members asked if the schedule of the playing of
very
the
needed.
Sorry. Is this better?
No.
Hello?
Are you using a speakerphone, Janet?
I can hear you loud and clear.
How about this? I'm just moving my phone around.
Yeah, it's
is this better?
Was this speak
close?
Yeah,
go ahead.
All right, I'm trying to speak loudly. Okay, so at that meeting, so one of the committee members asked if the schedule of playing the carts will be published in advance, and you said yes, yet for KPFA this has not been done, and I brought this to your attention. Also at KPFA, there seemed to be almost no candidate carts playing, certainly not during prime time. Did you issue a directive to have the candidate carts no longer play?
No, I did not. And this is you said KPFA,
yes.
They haven't been posted in it.
They haven't been, right, the schedule. Well,
hold on one second.
Okay, schedule. What was posted
and then the actual hasn't been posted either in terms of when they were actually played?
Right, the schedule for future, yeah, for what was going to was going to be played in advance was not posted.
Okay.
Only after the fact was it posted. Twice, but not recently. But then, all right, so why aren't the candidates playing? I mean, I know you don't know that right now. But
right, no, I'm going to ask. So at KPFA, there have been no candidate cards playing in the past week?
It's been, seems to be several weeks.
Okay.
And it's not that there are, well, yeah, few and far between, but then also not, but mostly not during prime time.
Okay.
All right. At this point, I think we've heard all the questions, so why don't we move on to the question of a roll call to see if we have quorum, in which case we could entertain Serene's motion. So, Michael, could you please call the roll?
Okay, hang on a second. Sorry.
Okay. This is a quorum check.
Just a quorum check? Okay. Is it Alan?
Alan is present.
Jim Brown. Maria Elena Castellanos. Janet Coleman. Marianne Douglas Ngaro.
Yes, here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Roman. Tej Graywall. Mark Hernandez. So he came on at one point. Mark, this. Cynthia Johnson. Janet Coburn.
Present.
Bob Lederer, Sierra. Frank Lefevre. Michael Novick is here. Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Serene Roberts.
Present.
Nancy Zabarinari Tomi.
Present.
Peter Tucker. That's just eight, I think. Not a quorum.
Okay, thanks, Michael. All right, well, since we had agreed...
There were 11 people on the call. If Joy is one and the streamer is one, that's at least nine. So what's happening?
That's still not quorum.
I know, but it also means there's at least one person on the call who doesn't have to identify themselves.
Is there anyone else?
Okay, I counted nine from the names that Michael called out.
Okay. Is there someone else on the line who has your name hasn't been called or you haven't had a chance to announce your presence?
Well, somebody could have said something on mute. We didn't really say a second time.
Hello? I think I just heard somebody leaving the call.
Yeah, that's the sound of leaving. All right. Well, I would suggest that since we agreed to keep going till 10:45, we should at least give Serene a chance to present the motion, and even though we can't vote on it, we could discuss it very briefly. So, Serene,
Janice, point of information?
Yes.
We also need to set the next meeting date.
Oh, very good point. Okay. So is there any objection to spending about 7 minutes on the motion and then 5 minutes on the meeting date?
I have a question.
Yes.
We through with Joy, or can we? Are we allowed to?
No, we, as much as I'd love to ask, to tell her it's fine to leave, we've always asked her what her next available date is, and I think the motion that Serene offers will be one that she'll want to, that Eljoy will want to hear, though it's not going to get set.
Yeah.
So,
which, by the way, no one updated me from the national board meeting whether or not they voted on the terms piece.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant to do that. We did agree. I don't remember the vote count. Janice actually here. Maybe she has it handy. But that
or it might have been unanimous, that the elections are for 3-year terms running for 2016, 17, and 18. And then next year's elections will be also for 3-year terms. KPFK being, you know, the outlier in that they're having a double election this year.
Okay. And that just reminds me of another piece that I need to add to my final report. There is not one place for an NES to go, no one has told me that there is one place that any election motions that have passed recently or passed in an off-election year that I can refer back to and make sure that we're following. It's been my experience even in doing this election procedures that somewhat we do something and then someone emails me and says, well, we actually passed a motion on this. And I'm like, oh, well, that would have been nice to know before we like did this process. Just for future elections or future process, you should probably have, give an NES or have one particular place where an NES could go and look just at, without having to go through all of your minutes, and just look at specific election-related motions that may have passed or gone that they may have not been aware of. And it's not always said to me. I gave a report on the national board, but then no one sent me an email and said, oh, we voted on this, and therefore you don't have to do a correction. So that would be extremely helpful.
I apologize. I did intend to do that.
I
apologize. I did intend to do that too. Janica.
Can I ask one question?
Quickly, yeah.
Okay.
Running short on time. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry if you said it and I didn't hear it, but the reason why you decided not to have all the different stations counting other stations was because of saving of money. And it was the logistics of a manual count and money, yes. How much money did we save? Do you know about approximately?
I don't have a specific dollar amount on that, but just thinking of, materials or resources needed to pull together in order for a count to happen. Not every station has a physical footprint that would allow a count to happen. There's the logistics of an LES finding a space, or if they have to rent a space, there's the equipment necessary. So there are all of those costs that would be added together.
I see. And I have one more question. If possible, could you please instruct LESs if there's some kind of announcement about elections that they announce it instead of having the general manager announce something about, oh, please vote because, we need to make quorum? Because that's what's happening at KPFT, and I don't think that's proper for, I'm so-and-so general manager, and talk about the election, and please vote. I would like to hear something from the LES instead of the general manager. So at KPFT, there isn't, because all of the LESs, like we went back and forth on scripts, I'm trying to reduce the number of ones that I do and just have it be local election supervisor. So at KPFT, there's not a script right now playing from the KPFT election supervisor on voting.
Well, there is from the manager.
This is Teresa.
Okay.
I thought I heard one today. From an election supervisor. I can't remember whether it was from you or our local election supervisor.
Anyway, this is probably not Joy's problem. This is our problem. Okay, I'll bring this up later. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on.
This is Alan. I have a question.
Okay, very quickly because we're running out of time.
At one time, so you're saying that when we receive the ballots, we can't tell a KPFT ballot from a KPFA ballot? I mean, we didn't put an envelope, like a return envelope, that were color-coded, like green for KPFK, pink for KPFK.
Lisa, open your ballot.
Well, I'm just like, oh my, I guess I should have just got it. I just opened it.
And the post office does not put some postmarks on it anymore.
Who said that?
Yeah.
No, it's not color-coded, and that you know, it was a logistical oversight on our part.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so let's go on to hear Serene's motion, and then let's set our next meeting dates. So, Serene, are you ready?
Yeah, and I just sent it to everyone. Now I just have to get it back before me. Sorry. Okay, whereas all ballot return envelopes are identical and therefore no mechanism other than opening the ballots will allow for determination of quorum by member category or station area, be it hereby resolved that paper ballots shall be opened and processed upon return to the vendor rather than, as described in the Pacifica Bylaws, Article 4, Delegates, Section 5, held until the election close date. There's an extra that in there that I should take out. It is also noted that e-ballots are automatically, quote, opened when the member votes. That's a bylaw change somebody should make.
Okay, is that the end?
Yep.
Okay. So why don't we take, it's 10:46, let's take like two quick comments and then, you know, like I said, we're not able to vote, so it's just for people to think about.
This is Marion. Make it on the stack.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Marion hasn't spoken yet. Please go right ahead.
I was just going to ask if Serene's language could be mailed out.
I did. Are you on the Yahoo group?
Yeah. We'll okay. So you did.
More
you did.
To get it.
Okay.
In there.
I'm not. You sent it before or you sent it now?
I sent it already, and I'm going in to clean up two words that I should have omitted.
Okay. All right. So I'll look for it. Thank you.
Okay.
Michael, to the sec.
Michael.
Janet, okay.
And then Janet.
I think there should be some language about maintaining the confidentiality of any processing that takes place while the election is still in progress.
That's automatic. It's an election. It's a secret ballot.
No, I'm saying if we're allowing the ballots to be opened and processed, the results of that processing need to be kept secret until the election is completed.
There should be what? I'm sorry.
If we're permitting the ballots to be opened and processed, the results of that processing as it goes along must be kept secret while the election is in progress.
So, Michael, you're saying...
I understand what you're saying. You're saying basically the results of those ballots should not be published or shared or any of that information until after the
right. No, interim tallies, but,
is this a discussion or is there a stack?
I'm chairing the meeting.
Okay, so it was a question to Serene. She's answering it. Go ahead, Serene.
I would assume that everyone understands that there are no interim tallies, that the election close date, whether the original or whatever is extended, will be decided by the election supervisor, and specific results, anything other than a quorum count, would not be reported out. Only the election supervisor would have access, the national election supervisor would have access to that information.
Yes, but you can't assume anything specific.
This is Marion on the spec again.
Okay, hang on one second, Marion.
Did you get the email?
I haven't
looked.
Yeah, I just came in 1 minute ago in my box. Okay, so I had Janet and then Marion, and then we're going to have to wrap up. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, this motion to me is asking is for the NES to violate the bylaws. And I am totally opposed to that.
Alan for the stack.
Okay, I have Marion, then Teresa, and then I heard Serene wants to.
Yes, I have a question for Janet.
Marion, go ahead.
I was just going to say that if something, I don't think it hurts to state something explicitly, even though it's implicit or people do know or they should know. But certain things, especially with confidentiality, I think, within the network, that will bear repeating. But now I'm also listening to Janet's concern about the bylaws. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Teresa?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I want to comply with the bylaws, but I think the word in the bylaws is open, is it not? Is the word open?
Sealed. It has to be remain sealed.
Sealed, okay.
Until the election close date.
Well, I think for sure this is a very serious problem that we have, but I think that we should somehow be able to work it out with the company that is counting the ballots, that they can at least open the ballots, not tally them, but open them and perhaps put them in a sealed envelope, only open them to count them to determine quorum, and then seal them up in another envelope to be counted later, not process them in the
system.
Not process them in terms of counting them all up and using STV, but just opening them up to reseal them after you tally the numbers so we can determine who has reached quorum. And
I would hope
that would be at least in the sense of what we're trying to do by the bylaws. We're trying to maintain that confidentiality of the ballot, but because of this problem, we have to also, I don't want to just totally annihilate the whole election, that we have to find some sort of solution. Thank you.
Go ahead, Eljoy.
Mr. Chair, so here's my offer suggestion. I could ask the vendor if they could weekly open the envelope and report a tally of received by station, but that they won't be entered into the system until after the close of the election. Because here's the problem is that it's entered into the system, the votes are entered into the system, and it gives me a running tally. So I could ask if, particularly because the envelopes are not distinguishing, if we have them open them only to take out money and to determine station count of ballots received, and that all ballots are then, placed by station, in a, quote, lockbox, to then be added to the system at the close of the election.
Okay, well, we're out of time, so let me just give Serene, I said I would let her respond to the different comments, and then we're going to have to move on. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I added the added language that I hope meets Michael's needs. Results of interim election results shall not be disclosed at the end. But, the bylaws, because the envelopes cannot be distinguished, the only way we can get to quorum, which we are required by the bylaws to check, is to open the envelopes. So Janet said she didn't like that idea. I'm wondering what she would propose.
Very briefly, Janet.
I don't have a proposal at this point. This is like a last-minute idea, and I need to think about it.
Okay. Okay, no problem.
Yeah,
okay. No problem.
Yeah, I mean, we all will have to think about it because we can't take any action anyway tonight. So let's wrap it there and just choose our next meeting.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Yeah,
I wanted to respond to what, somebody mentioned it, and Eljoy also mentioned it. Of having the people open the envelopes,
handle, you know, the contents other than the ballots, and then seal the ballots away in a secure place. I'm assuming that their security is tight because they know that they're dealing with important information. I'm assuming that they have secured their electronic systems and that they have secured their physical plant. It is not very efficient for a business to handle the same, or people, if we get it together and are organized, to handle the same piece of paper twice. So I really can't see them wanting to, you know, they owe us money as far as I'm concerned because of other issues. But I just, to me, it's not something as a business owner, even if I wanted to really indulge my client, it's not something that I would look forward to doing, handling the same stuff twice. It's just not a good use of your staff time. So, I mean, you can ask, but, you know.
And this is Janet Kay, I have another comment about this vendor, the employees, I assume, opening the ballots and then sealing them up, or there's no witnessing of that, and who would make sure that that process is done properly and that the ballots would actually be secured? In other words, the chain of custody issue. It's a big problem.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. So let's
That's why they're bonded.
Let's decide on our next meeting date. So what interval would people like to suggest? 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
2 weeks. This is Joy.
Okay. All right.
Did you say next Thursday?
She said 2 weeks. So
I could do next Thursday.
All right. So What do committee members want to do? 1 week or 2 weeks?
Are you talking about Monday or what day of the following week? Or
can you check KPFTX?
Yeah, I'm on
KPFTX.
Can we
do Thursday the 19th? Next Monday is a bunch of meetings in D.C. Two in D.C. One in New York, one in Houston. And then the 17th is affiliates, and the 18th is finance, and the 19th is KPFK outreach, but, you know, that's 3 hours different, so we can just plan to end by 10 o'clock, if that affects Lawrence and Michael.
Yeah, Thursday the 19th is okay for me.
All right, so does anyone have a schedule conflict with Thursday, November 19th?
Yes, Janet K.
Okay, well.
What time?
But it's not a governance conflict. It's the third. It's
Yeah, I'm talking about
it. It was the 8:30 Eastern. Push that button.
Janet,
is that the affiliate?
Well, could folks do Monday the 23rd?
There's a KPFT management committee. I think there are a couple of people from here on there.
Yeah, Reese and I. Yeah.
Tuesday the 24th?
No, there's two PNB committees that night.
Wednesday the 25th, 26th, 27th are open, and Monday the
30th. Next week,
the 25th is the night before Thanksgiving.
So I think it has to be the 19th. Everything else, you know, it's like a dead conflict.
I mean, we've always tried to accommodate every member, but there have been times when we just had to unfortunately say we're going to meet even though one member is unable to be there. So let me ask, is there any objection to making our next meeting Thursday, November 19th? I'm sorry. Say that again, Eljoy.
I said, if you would you have to vote on anything that you would need to make quorum?
It certainly would be very helpful, and maybe we can just make a renewed effort between now and the 19th to get the word out and call some of the folks who weren't here tonight and really urge them to be on this call. I mean, Thursday has been a fairly effective night for us over the last 6 months, I think. You know, we've had several meetings with quorum on Thursday, so I don't think it's an impossible night to get quorum.
Well, Janet Kay, may I just mention something else, but it's possible that, never mind.
Okay. All right, so once again, is there any objection to meeting on November 19th? All right, hearing none, then that's our next meeting.
Well, yes, there is from Janet Caper.
Okay, any other objection? Okay, so noted, Michael, that there's one objection.
Thank you all.
And but that'll be our next meeting date. Thanks, everyone, especially thanks to Eljoy for all your hard work and sticking with us.
Thanks.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bye.